Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us at the 2013 Fundraising Success Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Margaret Battistelli-Gardner, Editor-in-Chief of Fundraising Success, and I'm so pleased to welcome you to our Talking Technology session, sponsored today by Raise Mobile. If you ask what's new in technology for nonprofits these days, the answer is pretty easy, everything. But this session will delve a little further into the specifics of that and touch on some of the finer details of techniques such as video, mobile, and text-to-give, as well as interactive websites. But before we get started, let me review some technical pointers because it would be really embarrassing to have a technical problem during a technology session. But if you do have any technical issues, troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the answer the question and answer box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions both during and at the end of the session, mostly at the end, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the features on the console. Check out the Tips for Attendees widget if you'd like to learn more about the console you're viewing on today. If you're looking to get CFRE credits for attending this session, please pay attention when we sign off at the end, as I'll be going over how to obtain the tracking document for that then. Finally, if you'd like to view this session again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show today. We'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months beginning on Monday, September 16th, so watch your email for more details. Okay, with that out of the way, please welcome our moderator, Amy Sample Ward, CEO of the Nonprofit Technology Network, an organization dedicated to helping nonprofits use technology skillfully in their efforts to fulfill their missions. She'll be discussing today's topic with Megan Kashner, founder and CEO of Benevolent, which facilitates giving by connecting people with needs to the donors who can and who want to help them. Amy, how about if you take it from here?
Excellent. Thank you so much. I know that Megan and I are both excited to be here, and it won't necessarily flow with me just moderating and Megan adding in. We're probably inevitably just going to talk over each other because we both have a lot of ideas for all three of these topics. So if you hear another voice jump in, that's Megan adding to the conversation early before her dedicated slide. So I'm going to start by tackling what sometimes I hear from nonprofits as the most unfamiliar, but also the most exciting because it sounds really cool, version of fundraising through technology, which is the text-to-give SMS text message option. This is what it looks like, or can look like. This is an example from the UK, hence the pound sign instead of the dollar sign. But this is exactly what you're probably thinking of right now. Whenever you've seen those, you know, text this short code or text this message and you'll add $10 to your next phone bill, you know, to donate to the Red Cross or any of those big humanitarian relief efforts, that is this. And what it means for your organization is that you could accept donations as you do now, maybe on the web, maybe through something like PayPal, certainly through checks and people mailing in donations, but then you could add to that with this text option. It isn't quite as simple as just people randomly sending text messages. You do need to set up some infrastructure to support it. So first of all, you will need a short code, which is that five-digit number when people say, you know, text, I want to help to 58555 or whatever. That short code has been set up in association with that organization so that they can track who's texting in and where those donations are going. There are a lot of options around getting a short code. You could, if you plan on really investing in text messaging as more than just a fundraising channel, but a way that you're engaging your constituents year-round, whether you have, you know, advocacy work that you do, larger campaigns, you know, organizations use text messaging as just another communication channel, so they could, for example, you know, send out a text to remind people to go vote because, you know, they're working on some specific pieces of legislation, or, you know, remind people that this piece of your campaign is happening, and to go be engaged. So if you want to expand that to more of your communications and outreach work, then you'll want to have your own short code. But if you want it just for a short time, there are opportunities also to just share a short code. So, you know, there are short codes that exist, and you are essentially saying, for this month, that short code and any donations associated with it are ours, but then after this month, you know, someone else is going to use that short code. You'll also need to make sure that you have a messaging plan, because if anyone has ever tried to have a conversation through text messages, you know all too well that you use up those characters pretty quick. And just like with email that you're sending out as an organization, there are canned spam laws that apply to your text messages. So you're going to need to devote some of those characters to things like, here's how to opt out, here's, you know, why you're getting this, et cetera. So making sure you have a very clear messaging plan that you can translate into really short messages. And then lastly, people don't just know instantly that you have this short code and that they can text to donate to you. You need to have a multi-channel engagement plan so that people can hear about it from whatever channels they're using now. I like to use the example of the Haiti earthquake, and how many people, usually in a room of 50 people, if I say how many people donated text to give, you know, to the Red Cross relief efforts that everyone heard about right away, many people raised their hand. But when I say how many of you, you know, heard about texting a donation, how many people were given the call to action to use their cell phone to donate from Facebook, many of those hands stay raised, or a TV commercial, or, you know, something that was getting promoted on Twitter. So even though you're going to ultimately use your cell phone for that donation, it's important to remember you need to really support that call to action across all those different channels so people can promote it and share it and get the word out for you, because the text message itself isn't as shareable of a channel as Facebook is, or Twitter is, et cetera. So here's an example of that point from N10. We have used text to donate for our scholarship campaign for our annual conference. We always have 50 attendees that get a scholarship, as the name would imply. So their registration and attendance is free to make sure that, you know, organizations that maybe couldn't otherwise afford attending the conference are still able to participate. So we launched at the conference live a text to donate campaign to fund that scholarship bucket of money. And we did that because we had a physical stage where we could call it out, put a slide up on the big screen in front of the room, you know, with the number and how to do it, which is always recommended. If you can stand on a stage in front of a room of people, because what happens then is someone takes out their phone to text and the person sitting next to them at the table sees, oh my gosh, that person's doing it. Well, I should totally do it too, you know? So you get to play up kind of the peer pressure, which is why you see text to donate appeals happen often at things like a concert or a big benefit event, because there's someone on a stage and a whole room of people that are excited and already clearly, you know, in some way supportive of what you're doing. That's why they're there. So it's a great way to launch it, but then you need to follow that up with, like I said, something across all different channels. So we had posts on Facebook and Twitter, but we also included it whenever we were sending out emails. Like I said at the beginning, you're probably not telling people you're not allowed to donate to us anyway but text. So having something like you can see on the screen here where you can donate online, but you can also have that reminder in the email, you can also just text, you know, this short code to donate to.
Now,
and we will
Amy,
have...
Before we move on to text, I want to ask a question that I'm guessing a lot of people have. This is Megan's voice. There's been a lot of buzz about how much text to give costs.
Yeah. And text, the on the not easy, but the real answer to that is the cost varies. So depending on, you know, some of those pieces, like if you want to just have a short code that's yours all the time and you are going to have a mobile database where, you know, you're tracking text messages and opt-outs similarly to the way you have infrastructure to support your email, you know, you're not just sending email out of your personal account to 10,000 contacts, or I would encourage you to not do that if you are. But, you know, you have an email marketing infrastructure. You have some sort of database. You're legally, you know, obligated to say these people have unsubscribed. We have tracked that, and they're not getting the messages. So if you want to take on that whole level of infrastructure, you can, but that's certainly going to have a lot more cost. With N10's example, where we knew we were just using that short code for a shorter campaign for the conference, we went through Mobile Commons and the Mobile Giving Foundation. So we didn't actually we didn't have a database or a messaging system that was ours, which means, sure, we don't get to, like, track all their phone numbers and compare them against the contacts already in our list. But instead, we said, you know, okay, great, you've donated. Now you can, the next prompt is that you can fill out this form on the website where we do get to capture your information. But if you don't want to, then the relationship just stays in that text message that we don't see, but we still get the donation. So, again, you can choose kind of where you want to buy in, essentially. But then there's also the piece of, you know, the other cost, which is the transaction fees and pieces like that, especially with all those different carriers out there and how they manage it. And the donations, even though people are making them right in that room, right in that moment when you called out for donations from the stage, you're not going to see those instantly because they're going through their text messaging, through their mobile phone plans. So it always takes 30 to 60 days to get that donation actually as cash to your organization.
Amy, it's Margaret. I just wanted to interject with a question that came in from one of our attendees. Where does the organization get the short code? Who generates it, and how do you know what code to use?
Sure. So first, I would suggest going directly to Mobile Commons, Mobile Giving Foundation. Atomic Mobile has a flexible shared short code donation option. Go straight to those people first because they're going to be able to say, great, you want a shared short code, here's what we can do. Or, you know, here's a plan that's right for you. So you don't need to necessarily, you know, call up AT&T and ask for a short code. Instead, you want to go to the organization that will be helping you actually manage the donations because they'll help manage the short code. Does that make sense?
Great. Yes. Thank you.
Perfect. And I'm also happy to, once I stop talking out loud, put in the chat some direct links to resources, too. For now, I'm going to keep moving so that we get to a point in this webinar where I'm not the one talking. So next up is video, which, again, video is one of those things that kind of ticks all the boxes for, like, sexy internet things that we should be doing, or so says someone at your organization. Really, video in and of itself is just a messaging channel that supports your fundraising ask, because ultimately no one is donating just by seeing your video. They're getting inspired to donate from seeing your video. So think of it less of the channel, the way mobile text-to-giving is, and more of the opportunity to really promote, you know, what it is and tell the story of your campaign. So a few pieces to keep in mind. When it comes to video, it doesn't have to be expensive or really complex to be effective. It needs to have good audio. People will watch a blurry, strange, you know, undecipherable video if the audio is crystal clear. So make sure you have a great microphone, even if you're using a bad camera. And think about where you're going to post it. So you can obviously just post it to your website, but also posting your fundraising-related videos in channels like YouTube, where as a nonprofit you can have a branded YouTube channel for free. Posting it there also means that people just happen to be on YouTube, which when you look at the stats, apparently all that humans do is watch YouTube videos all day. I don't know how progress is made in this world because YouTube video stats are just off the charts. But that way, your video can also be part of that ecosystem where people can come across it, easily share it, engage with you, and it isn't just living on your website where maybe no one or fewer people are coming across it. Even though I said the video doesn't have to be that great, you still want the story to be great and there to be a reason for people to be watching it, something that's very clear, telling the story, but also making that call to action clear. And then, again, having a multi-channel plan for promoting your campaign. You can embed video all over the web now. You can post it to your Facebook page. You can, you know, include the link to your video in a tweet, and most Twitter apps will embed the video there so that people can see that you have a video attached to your tweet, and then, of course, email and your website to support it. So here is an example where at N10, again, we have used a video also for our scholarship campaign, but this was a previous year, and what we did is created, I think there were six videos. So we had a six-week-long campaign. We released one video a week, and this is the very first video where we're saying, oh, my gosh, we need to raise $10,000 in order to cover these 50 scholarships for the conference. What are we going to do? And the plot twist, I will give it away, is that those lovely cookies on the table you see that were for our bake sale got eaten by our IT director's dog. So we were not able to sell, I guess those brownies were worth $10,000. We were not able to make the money, so it was a call to the community to help us. And then each week, each of those six videos was, again, another failed attempt by N10 staff to raise the necessary money and a new, fresh call to the community to support. And so that was, so this is a screenshot where it's posted on Facebook. But again, we posted that across the web and then had a six-part email campaign that went along with it. So I'll turn it over to Megan to go next on this last piece here.
Okay. Hi, everybody. So I want to just make a quick note on the video stuff that Amy was just talking about. I really want to reiterate the fact that it does not need to be fancy. I think often in our sector we get caught up on thinking that we need production and we need to get some pro bono help and we need to produce a video. And the truth is, if you think about what people watch most in terms of video, it's a lot of cat videos. So they're not really well produced, and what's important is that they be compelling. So I'm going to switch over now into integrated online. And what on earth does that actually mean? So integrated online is actually just what it sounds like. It's integrating different ways, different channels, different methodologies for connecting with people. And so I'm going to move on to the next slide. So here are just some examples. It's easier just to show than to list them out. So what I'm showing you here is one example of raising money online on your website. But what are some other ways that we engage with donors and potential, proponents of our work online? We post to Facebook. We send emails and newsletters. We encourage others to tweet and to post about us. And to me, that's kind of the holy grail of integrated online is when you're not the only one pushing out your message. When your message is so compelling and it hits your target audience so nicely that they are forwarding it along and sharing it with their friends. So moving into the next slide, what do you need? Well, as with every other thing we've talked about today, strategy first. A haphazard or sort of scattershot approach at throwing everything against the wall, especially on social media, you will catch some attention in that way, but you're unlikely to harness that attention and drive it in the direction you're trying to go. So strategy first. You want to think about who are you trying to attract? How are you going to attract them and get their attention to your message? How are you going to engage them with that message? How is that message then going to translate into securing them, whether that's securing them as someone who's interested in your work, someone who has donated to your work, someone who is forwarding your information to someone else? And then how do you reinforce that, right? How once someone acts once on your behalf, whether, you know, let's say that's giving a contribution, how do you reinforce that behavior and make it so that that person wants to come back and remain engaged? And I think that we often, in our sector, we often push out a lot of messaging around help, donate, help. But we are just as well served, if not better served, when we also engage our audience, engage our donor base and our proponents in our successes and in the impact and the effect of their participation with us. So what we're talking about here is integrating web, social, email, and more, right? We've talked about video, we've talked about SMS. There's some cool new technology that allows something similar to text to give, but it's actually in line in Twitter and Facebook, so you can actually donate within a comment, under a post, which is fascinating. But none of it will work unless you have a clear understanding of your target audience. Who's going to be interested in what you have to say, and where are they? Where are these people hanging out in their digital lives? Once you figure that out, you need to then think about coordinating across multiple channels. And this is not, you don't need a six-page plan for this, right? But what you need to think about is, okay, if we understand who our target is, then what is our strategy for email, for Facebook, for Twitter, for events, for whatever it is, to bring that message out to that group? And you want to make sure that your messaging is not clashing with your other messaging in another channel. And then it comes again to that responsive interaction and personalized follow-up. To the extent that you can use technology or even just straight-up email, Facebook commenting, tweeting directly to a person or directly to a group of people to reinforce, thank you so much for that gift that you gave. Here's what happened as a result. Thank you so much for sharing our story with your friends on Facebook. You know, it's amazing to see the impact that that has. And think about how you can reward connection and sharing. And what we know about people who want to step up and help nonprofits is that they're not looking for a reward that looks like a gift card. They're not looking for any sort of a bribe for their engagement. The reward that they're looking for is that fulfillment. So as much as we can use this integrated campaign across web, social, email and everything to not only bring people in but then to reward them and help them feel great about what they've done, we're going to be increasingly successful. So here's an example, and sorry, I needed to take a sip of water there. So many of you may never have heard of what Benevolent is. You've probably never heard of me, and that's totally cool, but I'll give you an example from Benevolent's work. So Benevolent is a fundraising platform that invites donors to help one low-income individual who's facing a challenge, and we work in partnership with local nonprofits. So this is an example of a young man named Toya who came to the United States from Bhutan as a refugee, and his siblings were here with him. And he found pretty quickly that in order to succeed educationally and in terms of, work and job opportunities and growth and learning the language and learning the culture, his family was going to need access to a computer. So, we worked together with the Heartland Alliance, and what you see at the top right in the blue here is what it looked like on our website. But what you also hear, and this gets back to what I was saying a minute ago about integrating and coordinating, you can also see how this appeared or would have appeared on Facebook, you know, when we presented it in a way that would allow people and encourage people to share it and to engage there. And you can also see on the right an email that the donors who specifically chose to help Toya and fund that particular need got an email not just thanking them for their gift, but got an email several weeks later with a quick note from Toya, or from his nonprofit, I can't recall which, and the type is really small here, you know, saying, thank you so much, here's what happened, we got the computer, and this is how it's helping us. So that's an example of integrated across channels. Now, not every campaign has to focus on one person, one need, but that consistency of messaging and reinforcing both before and after the action has been taken on the part of your donor or proponent is what's essential here.
Awesome. Thanks, Megan. There are a few questions that have come in through the queue that are still the mobile text to give questions. So I'm just going to try and knock some of those out right now. And if you all have questions about anything that Megan or I presented about or about all of the rest of the things we didn't present about, feel free to add those into the question box and we will take care of them. So there were a few questions, like I said, about the text to give information. So first, some of the recommended groups to look up are Mobile Commons and the Mobile Giving Foundation, as well as Atomic Mobile. I'll repeat those again in a second to give you a chance. And then as far as the money that's coming to you, yes, so if you're working with Mobile Commons and the Mobile Giving Foundation, you will get a check from them. They will be capturing the funds that come in through the campaign and sending you one check a month usually, and the first one, again, isn't going to come for 30 to 60 days because of the lag that it takes with carriers providing, you know, the money to them and then them cutting it back to you. So if that makes sense. And then there was a question also from Beth about the back-end system. So if you were to invest in that infrastructure for your organization, you will have tons of more flexibility with the back-end providing opportunity for, you know, follow-up messages, things like that. But if you're not having your own infrastructure, you still have a multi-part message that you can customize. So in N10's example, where we didn't have any of that infrastructure, we were going purely through working with Mobile Commons, we said this is the original message. So when someone texts N10 to that number because they want to give us $10, a message comes back to them that says, if you want to confirm your donation, hit yes. So they can't just text at one time. They do have to have kind of that double opt-in, essentially. They have to write back with a yes, and when they do, they get another message that says, thanks for your donation. Please visit this URL to, you know, stay connected to the campaign, whatever, and that's when they were going to N10's website and giving us their contact information. So even if you don't invest in the whole infrastructure yourself, you still have some options, you know, to get them engaged and click through. I hope that makes sense. And then let's see what other, it looks like a quick call for questions has brought in a ton of questions. Megan, have you checked any of these out just yet?
I have. And so I think there's a really interesting question here from Ken that asks, what do you find are most effective personalized follow-up, immediate text, snail mail, et cetera? And I'll jump on the first answer to that question. I think often the most effective personalized follow-up comes in the same modality that the person engaged with you in the first place, right? So for someone who donates online, we've captured that email address, and so, you know, an email follow-up is easy. We know this person's sitting at their computer. If someone has tweeted or has commented on a post on Facebook, we try and very quickly like and respond to those. Similarly with SMS, which I don't have actually as much experience with. So I'll let Amy talk about SMS follow-up.
I'm just trying to find. So as far as following up just with the text, you know, for us, we felt like there should be some sort of benefit hook to donating and to donate multiple times. So we actually told people that every time you donate by text or donate on the web, you got to nominate someone to receive one of those 50 scholarships. So if you wanted to donate 10 times and then nominate yourself 10 times, well, now you've already got 10 votes going for you to get one of those scholarships. So the way we did that is said, you know, you can just text right back, yes, your donation is in, but if you want to be able to nominate someone, click on this URL, give us your information, and then include the name of the person you want to nominate. So that was our hook to encourage them, A, to let us know who they are, since we are not managing the text messaging infrastructure, but then also we could follow up with them and have a way to say thank you, but also obviously you want to keep engaging because you nominated someone, so here's how to do that and keep the relationship building out from there. There's also a question, Megan, specifically for Benevolent. What type of capacity does the organization have to implement your social media strategy?
You know, that's an interesting question. Benevolent makes great use of volunteers and interns. And in the very beginning, we had a person who was, you know, 15 to 20 hours a week dedicated to social media. And I have to tell you that that wasn't the best strategy, because what that ended up being was someone who was fairly junior and couldn't always answer and respond with confidence, if that makes sense. And so since we've sort of walked away from that, we sort of share social media work across many of us in the organization. We all have logins. We all are administrators for the Facebook page. I am a huge fan of the Facebook Pages mobile app that helps you administer your Facebook page from your phone, because what that means is that if someone comments on something on our Facebook page and it's 7 p.m., any one of maybe three or four of us who have installed that app and we're getting those notifications can just quickly hop on and answer that query or respond to that positive comment. And similarly, But it's also very different between Facebook and Twitter. People are actually really engaging on Facebook, whereas on Twitter it's a lot more pushing out of information. And so we make good use of certain technologies that help you sort of preload tweets and have them send out at optimal times, so that even when you're not sitting there, you know, on top of social media at the moment, you can be pushing messaging out that way as well. And so we no longer have a dedicated person who's focusing on social media at all. We just all sort of do a little bit of it, and what that means is that our donors, our proponents, our fans really get to feel like they're talking to the organization.
Excellent. There's also a question that I'm guessing both of us have some experience with, and it's from Jeremy asking about suggestions for developing a communication strategy for a video campaign. And I would actually say the question should be developing a communication strategy for a campaign, because once you've created the campaign plan, it's easier at that point to identify if video makes sense and where to plug it in, instead of trying to build from, okay, we're going to make a video, what should we do with it place? So I would suggest focusing on it as a communications, you know, strategy for your full campaign, figuring out what the story is, what the call to action is, and think about the story as an unfolding thing, not on day one, we're going to post this, you know, whole story and that's the only story and here we go. But, you know, back to that N10 example, we knew, okay, the story is we can't just personally contribute these funds. We are a small staff. We need the community's help. So that is that larger story. We need the community's help to fund these scholarships, and then, you know, the weekly different staff members or different teams trying and failing, you know, kind of fell down underneath that, if that makes sense. Megan, I don't know if you want to weigh in there.
I think that I absolutely agree that, you know, when you're having a communication strategy, it's a communication strategy, whether it's for a video campaign or something else. And I think that somehow we believe that a video campaign, and this piggybacks on another question that's also asked on here, which is, and I'm just going to read this question out, for those of us who don't have videographers available, can you suggest user-friendly apps or ways to film and publish videos? So I'm going to put these two questions together, if you will, and say, we tend to take video a little bit too seriously, and if we start to use video more casually and more like any other form of communication we use, we might actually see better results. And so you don't need a videographer. You need a phone. You need a YouTube channel. You might need a quick editing software, which comes on most most PCs. I happen to use a Mac, so I've got iMovie. Incredibly simple to like overlay music to shorten clips. You can take a little bit of video and edit it and have it done within a half an hour. I want to encourage people to keep videos short, like 30 to 60 seconds kind of short, because that's about the attention span of the gnats that we are today. but overall, in terms of communication, you know, you need to make sure that the messaging that you have surrounding this video is compelling enough that someone chooses to press play. And that is really, like, you can have the best video, the most compelling, most amazing video, but if you have not put it out there in a way that encourages people to press play, then you've just wasted a lot of time.
Excellent. I totally agree. And I think I'm going to try and have room for one more question, maybe two if we can do it. But Rebecca has a great question that I imagine many people are thinking, and that's, you know, ultimately, we want to try and figure out what's easiest for the donor. And what are our thoughts, mine and yours, Megan, about text to give versus mobile apps and preferences there from the donor's side of things? And I would say, you know, there are far fewer examples of a mobile app that a nonprofit has invested in that's valuable to the user than there are examples where they're not valuable. Because at the end of the day, it does cost a whole lot more to make a mobile app than it does to, say, make sure your website is easy to read on a mobile device and your forms are easier, you know, to fill out if you're on a phone or a tablet or on a computer. Investing in that where it's flexible, users can come from anywhere, I think is a much better investment than trying to invest in a standalone app, because what that means is people need to find your app, know that you have it, download it, remember to use it, and just having a more responsively designed website means when you send them an email or you send them a text message and, you know, include a link to a call to action and they click on it, well, it just takes them to that clean-looking website, and they can complete the action regardless of what tool they're on, instead of, oh, I got an email. Great, let me close my email on my phone, go find that app I downloaded, open the app, and figure out if I can donate over here. So I definitely encourage you to optimize your website and forms or campaign pages for any kind of device to be able to use them and read them well. But as far as coming, you know, what does the donor want? I would say ask them. Track on your website, you know, gosh, are a lot of people using mobile devices when they're looking at our website, or are most people using computers? Do we see a lot of people clicking through on the emails to watch the video about, you know, our call to action, or are they clicking on the email and donating right away? You know, try and learn the behavior of your community members to anticipate what options they may want. And again, you don't have to say you're only allowed to donate through text message or you're only allowed to donate through PayPal, you can always have all those options available and then just encourage the one that your campaign is focused on. Megan, you want to weigh in a little?
I agree with every single thing that you said. You have to think about trust as well. You have to think about trust. What you know, when you're on a mobile device, if the person is really just on their smartphone, are they going to feel more comfortable sending out a text message, which then links that gift to the relationship they already have with their mobile provider, or typing in their credit card number into an app that they had to download? If you think about it that way, I think the answer is real clear.
Great. Amy, Megan, I'm going to have to jump in here because we've reached the end of our session. Thank you so much. What great information. I hope everyone had their questions answered. On behalf of Fundraising Success Magazine and our sponsor for this session, Raise Mobile, I want to thank you again for attending. In order to download the tracking documentation, you'll need to claim if you're going to claim CFRE points for this session, please click on the resource widget below. It's marked the file folder. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during the presentation, we encourage you to visit the networking lounge to chat live with other session attendees. Excuse me. Please also visit the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. And remember, if you've missed anything today, the entire virtual show will be archived, and the on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting on Monday. Have a great day, everyone, and please be sure to stick around to attend the rest of today's sessions. Thank you.